not my fault I look better in her party dress. It's not my fault that she left your slutty girlfriend. It's not my fault, this is how my mama made me. I've been magnetic since I was a baby. It's not my fault.
This is Paloma.
This is Davey with PiratePods.com.
And we're here this full moon evening in San Diego with...
Is it a full moon?
It's a freaking full moon.
Oh, that's gorgeous. I am Justin Tranter from Semi Precious Weapons.
So tell us about this Hell on Heels tour and what's going on with all that.
Well, what's going on with all that is that the girls from Bon Iver loved our band and contacted us and said we should play a bunch of shows together. And then we checked them out and went and saw them when they played in Brooklyn. And we said, yes, we should play a bunch of shows together. You're totally right, because they're fucking awesome. And so then we wanted to kind of like make it not just shows, like have it be a thing. And so we came up with Hell on Heels, and then have had a few other like guest bands on certain shows. And it's just about bands that are like, that look great and still sound great and are kind of dangerous. And, you know, that's the general gist of it.
Just tell us your story of Semi Precious Weapons.
How did it start?
It started by me calling the three best musicians I know, saying I want to start a band and it's going to be called Semi Precious Weapons. That's kind of how it started. Yeah, I mean, that was really how it went down, but it was just like living in New York, actually with my friend Jeffrey here. We're living in New York, and we both moved to New York from Boston. It was like so boring, and all my band members moved to New York from Boston. And we like came to New York and thought that it was supposed to be like so crazy, and like all the bands were going to be like so fun and so dangerous, and like every party you went to, there'd be some sort of weird performer that just got up for 5 minutes and like all the Warhol documentaries that we watched as kids or teenagers or whatever the fuck.
No.
But no, not at all. And so I was like, okay, somebody has to start a band that's fucking fun and filthy and dangerous. And I think it worked really well for us to do it because we all went to music school. You know, I have a degree in songwriting, whatever the fuck that means. Dan has a degree in composition. Neil and Stevie both have degrees in jazz performance. So it was like, we were all very comfortable in and confident in our musicianship that we were like, we don't need to prove anything. We can just be fucking ridiculous. And so it kind of was like the perfect time for all of us to be like, you know what? We're ready to just fill the void, have fun.
And I think that's important too for your viewers, your fans, the audience. I think they actually want something that they could participate in as well. And it seems to me that your shows are very participatory.
Very.
We actually saw you in Los Angeles.
Oh, cool. Where'd you see us?
House of Blues with Graham Rabbit.
Oh, yeah. That was a cool show.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah.
Tell me about when you first became aware of your inner rock star.
It happened a few different times, actually, and I kept resisting. First was watching Annie as a child. That was probably the most important. But then I decided I wanted to be a tennis player like all my brothers. And I was very good at it, so it was an easy thing to pretend to be. And then The Little Mermaid came, and I wanted to be Ariel. And so that was another one. And then after that, but then I still kept playing tennis. And then after that, I saw Courtney Love on TV, and that kind of changed it. And Courtney Love and Lil' Kim, both kind of discovered both of them at the same time. And that kind of changed, gave me the courage to no longer play tennis.
Will you tell me the first song that you listened to that you remember? And you remember, I think that for listeners and actually even musicians, that there's this one key song in their lives that they identify with, and no matter what it is, but it actually was a life-changing moment. Would that be the same for you with Courtney Love or Lil' Kim?
Yeah, I was probably seeing them. I mean, there's like, I don't know, probably like five songs that I could name that like are like the big songs for who knows why, what reason, but they are. But I think like seeing, for me, everything's very like really, really visual. And so I think like seeing, you know, a whole video and seeing Lil' Kim, like I think that was like, It was the visual mix with the music that really changed it for me.
This is what I'm dying to know, because I personally am unable to walk in heels. So give me some tips for walking and, more importantly, dancing in heels.
I wish I had some. It just came really, really naturally to me. It just happens. My feet don't hurt when I wear them. I can wear them all day long. I don't feel shit. I'm sorry. I wish I could help, because heels are great and everyone should wear them.
And how long does it take you to get all dolled up to perform?
I don't know. It depends. It's like, it can take like 2 minutes, or like it can take 2 hours, but like, it just depends. What are you saying?
It takes you 2 seconds now.
Yeah. It's like, it depends.
It's down to a science.
I'm down to a science, and it goes really quick, but sometimes it'll take a lot longer, but the look isn't even more complicated. It could be like a simpler look, but for some reason it took longer, but it's pretty quick these days. Actually, today was a great example. I was in the van coming from Vegas. We were on stage in Vegas at 1 a.m., washed up all my makeup, slept for 3 hours, got in the van, drove to his house, got ready in literally like 2 minutes to go be on the Chelsea Lately show. So, you know, it was a quick one, quick transformation.
All right, so I'm going to ask two questions together at the same time. First one, how big of a megalomaniac are you? And then define superstar.
Well, I have a question for you. What's megalomaniac?
Define it, David. Megalomaniac. Like, the person who has to be the center of attention and in charge and all eyes on me. Everybody does what I say. And
yeah, I don't. It does. It just kind of happens. So I don't know what that means. Because I don't really. I mean. That is me. Normally, the attention is on me, and I kind of am in charge, and I like to know everything that's going on at all times. But I don't really have to try to do it, so I don't know if that makes me a megalomaniac or not.
Okay, so how would you feel if your audience broke out into a wild orgy?
I think that'd be fantastic. They should definitely break out into a wild orgy. I wouldn't participate.
But you'd encourage them.
Oh, I would for sure encourage. I don't really drink. I've never done any drugs, and I've really only had sex with a couple people, but I like to encourage others.
Yeah. So who are some of your rock and roll heroes?
My rock and roll heroes are, well, we've obviously already talked about Courtney Love and Lil' Kim. Who else? Stevie Nicks is huge. Ani DeFranco, Tori Amos. Who else? Trina, Rihanna, Beyonce. Yeah, I think that's pretty much my biggest, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm going to change this up a bit. Is there anything in this world today that you would like to change?
Okay, the musicians actually have to be able to make music to be successful at it. Pro Tools has ruined everything for everyone. Especially Auto-Tune. Auto-Tune should be fucking illegal. I'd like to change that. I would like to change I think the concept of gender is so boring, and I'm so tired of even hearing myself talk about it.
So gender ambiguity is a really, really important thing.
Yeah, well, gender ambiguity I just don't even think it should be, like, if someone wants to be, like, really, really specific to their gender role, that's great. And if they don't, then that's fine. And if they want to be all of it, they should be able to be that too. Like, I just feel like it's such like an, I don't know. I mean, obviously, because of who I am, it comes up a lot in my life. And so I just get annoyed with it. But yeah, I think, yeah, no more Pro Tools and Auto-Tune. And gender just shouldn't even really exist as a concept.
That's a good one.
So what are you listening to these days?
These days, listening to a lot of Taylor Swift, and I'm not kidding. Listening to the new Beyonce record, especially the second half, the Sasha Fierce half. Can't stop listening to it. What else? And I've actually been going back to like a lot of stuff I'd listened to in high school lately. Like the Anis and the Tories. Been listening to a lot of it. And some of it I'd listen to and I'd be like, I can't believe I was so obsessed with this. But then other songs I'd be like, yeah, this is the greatest song I've ever fucking heard. Yeah.
It has its time and place for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then some of it's still timeless, so it's,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's awesome.
If you weren't a musician, what would you do instead?
I would probably be a publicist or a manager, like of anything, probably of music, but like I managed a retail store for a few years and I absolutely loved it. So, yeah.
Do you want to talk about your jewelry at all?
If you'd like me to. Yeah. I almost was going to say I would be a designer if I wasn't a musician, but they're basically the same thing to me. Like, designing a necklace and selling it is the exact same thing as writing a song and performing it. Like, selling jewelry is the exact same process. I mean, it's a performance. Whether you're performing via email or on the phone or at a meeting in person, it's still a performance. The jewelry, it started out as band merch. For our first show, we obviously didn't have a record. We didn't have T-shirts made. We had only rehearsed, like, twice. But I was like, well, I want to make some fucking money. I have a lot of friends that are all going to come. I'm going to sell them something. So I knew, because of managing a jewelry store, I knew where to go to get pieces to make the Gun and Heart necklace, because we already like had the band logo, which was the Gun and Heart. So I just made the Gun and Heart necklaces and sold way too many of them. I was like making them like at the merch table at this show. And so then I was just like, I don't want a day job anymore. I want to just do this, do the band. Maybe I should try and sell these necklaces to stores. And I knew how to do that from working on the other side of it. And so like sold to like two boutiques in New York before I got a hold of people at Urban Outfitters. And they ordered a test order of like 1,000 pieces that went really well. And then since the test order went well, all of a sudden I was like shipping tens of thousands of necklaces out of my house. So that's kind of how it started. Yeah. And then I made it for Barney's and like, you know, like gold and diamond, like the same like weapon and heart idea though. And, but then at Barney's we started doing like Zodiacs and Diamond Braille and, so then that's when the jewelry line like really took on a life of its own. It was no longer just like band kitsch. It was like, you know, a whole separate thing, which was really amazing. And it has made, one, I love doing it. It's so fun. And two, it's made being in rock and roll in 2009 and 2008, like actually doable, because rock and roll doesn't make, no one listens to rock and roll in the sense of the general public. But so for me to be able to get in a van with my best friends in the world and drive around the country and play music while selling really expensive jewelry through my BlackBerry has been a really, really amazing, awesome experience.
All right. Is there anything else that you'd like to be known about you before we do the grand finale?
I don't think so. Jeffrey, what do you
think? Anything else about the band?
Jeffrey knows me better.
Chance to sell yourself.
Oh, I think I've sold myself. Yeah, I think that's it.
All right, so the grand finale, and some people don't like to do this, but I'm sure that you'll do this for us, because we're pirate pods. We ask everyone we interview to give us their very best pirate impression or tell a pirate joke.
Ooh, that's fun. Yeah. I like it. I mean, I'm just tempted to go like arg, but that's so boring.
I wish we knew jokes.
I wish we knew we had some good pirate one-liners. We don't tell jokes enough. Google me a pirate joke. I would probably just say something filthy about what you could do with a peg leg and a hook hand, but that just tells itself. You don't even need to tell a joke. Peg leg, hook hand, pirate podcast, work.
Well, thank you so much, Justin. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
I can't buy my rent, but I'm fucking gorgeous.